C1G.
Number 10A.
We come to the next subtone, Truth as Truth. And you can see a further step compared with Truth as Life. Here it is said, and God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. It is as if she would repeat what has been said before, and yet not quite. To you it shall be for meat, and that's now new. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So the additional point that comes in comparison to the preceding one, is actually to show what Mrs. Eddy calls assistance in brotherhood, namely that the various categories of creation help each other, that they are not isolated facts, but they are related to each other, that they help each other, that they are there for the support of each other, and that is what Mrs. Eddy wants to shows here. She says, God gives the lesser idea of himself for a link to the greater. Can you see? Now the lesser and the greater are now linked together. They are for meat. They help each other. It's a link for each other. The higher always protects the lower. Again, a relationship. Then the rich in spirit help the poor and supplies the brother's need, seeking his own in another's good. So constantly we have here that interrelationship of the whole of creation, helping each other, combining all these ideas, and therefore each idea being necessary for every other idea. That is what we call the compound idea, man, where we see no more the individual man, but the compound idea, namely where man takes in the whole hierarchy of creation and sees that there is one brotherhood of men. So, while Truth as Spirit, as you remember, has been showing that the animals have distinct individual qualities, now here in man, all these qualities are now in relationship to each other, and always in one definite relationship to each other, namely to help each other, to be of assistance, so that we really have here that in the compound idea man, I have said in the epitome, every idea reflects every other idea. Therefore, she says here that the least spiritual idea, through that reflection, has might, immortality, and goodness. If an idea never stands alone, if there are no isolated ideas, therefore no isolated qualities, if we don't have just a universe of lions and cattle and worms and serpents and dogs and horses and I don't know what, but when they are all related to each other to form one compound idea, then we call that the compound idea man. So you have seen up to now we had already various connotations for man in Truth as Soul, where for the first time man was introduced as let them have dominion, therefore introducing that there are infinite individual idea called man. Then in Truth as principle, it was a generic term, the family name for all men. Then in truth as life, we had the Son of Man, the one that has dominion, that is the master over the universe. And now we see that man is not alone in the universe, that there is a whole hierarchy. She depicts here the hierarchy of man, beast, herb, as symbols. And so man can include all of them, because he is God's own consciousness, and God is conscious of all the days of creation. Therefore, that true man becomes here the compound idea man that includes all ideas. Therefore, man can help the animals, can help the plants. We can give a treatment to animals. We can give treatments to a plant when the plant doesn't grow anymore. And that's quite good to know that, because why should he only culture the plants with material things? Why not with a loving heart? Why not talk to the plants? We always hear that those people that talk to the plants, are kind to the plants, communicate with the plants, that they grow much better. And so it is with animals, as you know. So it's one universe. It's just not the individual or the generic term man. It's man, so to say, including the whole hierarchy of creation, right down to the animal and to the herbs and to everything. These are very old concepts that we find in many religions. You find them really in the American Indians, that they really, the true American Indians, that they had that very high attitude, that they were seeing the nature as one body of God, and therefore they were not, they did not hurt the nature. They were kind to the nature, and therefore everything grew for the best of them. Therefore they could talk with the viper, and the viper would not bite them. They had that original wonderful sense. In a recent book, I read that one who has investigated the American Indians said that their religion came nearest to Christian Science. And reading about those wonderful mentalities of the true American Indians who believed in the Great Spirit, and the Great Spirit filling the whole earth, really symbolize very much, not completely, but very much what here is said in truth as truth. That it is not only a question of the family of man, but the family of the universe, which includes the whole nature of our universe. So that we can see that all the varied expressions of God reflect what? Reflect health, holiness, and immortality. Can you see that all the varied expressions of God, therefore from the smallest to the highest, from the infinitesimal to the infinite, that all these herbs and animals, these were the two big realms that at that time when the Bible was written were under consideration, that was their realm with which they had to deal with, that they could see that every one of them was protected by the higher consciousness, and the higher and the lesser were serving the higher. If we go further to truth as love, we come to the verse that reads, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." You see, there again is no more a creative activity. It is now beholding what has been made, and actually a very terrific state of consciousness. Namely, it's that consciousness which we call womanhood, because womanhood is that aspect of manhood that is able to behold the perfection of man, that does not try to improve the mortal, but that accepts the whole concept of man, the compound idea of man, and accepts it right at the point of its perfection, and never loses sight of it. Mrs. Eddy's side note is actually here, perfection of creation. Can you see it? Perfection is love. It's truth as love. Perfection, love of creation, the creation of truth. And her explanation is of greatest value. She says, the divine principle or spirit comprehends and expresses all. Comprehends here is in the, you know that the term comprehend has two connotations in the English language. It can mean understand, perceive, but comprehend can also mean to include. And here it is in the text of include, that the divine principle or spirit includes or comprehends and expresses, and at the same time expresses all, and all must therefore be as perfect as the divine principle is perfect. So she establishes here the tone of love as being all-inclusive and at the point of perfection. There, nothing is new to spirit. Can you see? The creative aspect is now finished. There is no more a new creation taking place. Nothing is new to spirit. This is now the new tone that comes in. Whereas up to this point, every day brought something new. Finally, to the point where everything was united in that assistant brotherhood, everything was united into one. All the categories of man, beast, and herbs were united into one universe, so that there is no more anything new. So this is a new state of consciousness where we begin to see that actually everything is already at the point of fulfillment, of perfection, and it is our contribution to accept that perfection in consciousness, truth as love. So nothing is new in spirit, nothing can be novel in the eternal mind. So now it says nothing can be novel, but before it was all novel. Everything was novel. God said as mind, let there be light, that was new. Afterwards, let there be a firmament, that was new. All, every day was something new. And now you get to that point where you see nothing can be novel in the eternal mind, the author of all things, from whom all eternity, who from all eternity knows his own ideas, knows it right from the beginning. Deity was satisfied with his work. Can you see this, state of love, of being satisfied with perfection? How could he be otherwise? And now you have that wonderful paradox. All big teaching teaches in paradoxes. How could be otherwise? Since spiritual creation was the outgrowth, was a creation, was really an ascending order of creation, was the outgrowth, the emanation. It was always an emanation. God created this and God created that. Of what? Of his infinite self-containment. That's naturally a paradox. You can't have an emanation and an infinite self-containment. Either it's infinitely self-contained, and then it's contained, and there is no outpouring. If you have an outpouring, then you can't say it is self-contained. It's a creation taking place. And spiritually interpreted, this is absolutely logical. It is showing those two great strains, namely the being and the becoming. And being and becoming are not contradictions. They are complementary. They are complementary if we consider those strains from different levels. The one is from the level of divine science, which comprehends all. The other is from the level of Christian science, which has a creative aspect of creation, of being. So we can see that if we go out from divine science, from that infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom, that if we entertain that consciousness, that translates itself to the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science as the impelling power of let there be, and God made, and what He made was perfect. So that these two complementary strains begin to converge and be one. And that ends really the sixth day. Again, let's just run over these subtones just quickly, just with the idea in view, how does she develop really the term man, the symbol man? Just that. What have we seen in truth as mind? In truth as mind, it was first presented that we have to do with ideas, with qualities of thought, with ideas, with diversified, classified, individualized qualities of thought. Then in truth of spirit, it was explained what these qualities of thought are, and that these qualities of thought blend. Then, at the point of truth of soul now, we have individual man. Now, all these ideas together are actually ideas that God has in mind. And if we ask ourselves that God, what has God in mind, and see that God has the totality of Himself in mind, then we have the point that God made man in His image and likeness. I can't say it in His image and likeness because it was the plural, in their image and likeness, in the likeness of God. So that we can see the reflection of God is individual man. So that each individual man truly seen is that state of consciousness where each one goes to truth and contemplates the universe of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love from the point of view of truth. All these reflections together are one species, one gender. So in truth as principle, Mrs. Eddy introduces a term, generic man, which corresponds to life, truth and love. So there we get generic term man, generic man, the species man. At the point of life, she showed that man has dominion, that he is the son of man. The son of God, as the son of God, he has dominion over heaven and earth. Just as Jesus had dominion over heaven and earth. He had dominion over the realm of ideas, as well as over the realm of beliefs. That brought us further. If he had dominion over earth and heaven, therefore then truth is truth would show that man must include all other categories of creation, namely the animals and the herbs, in one great brotherhood, one great assistant. So that the whole universe, now as a compound idea man, is being presented. That compound idea man includes all other ideas, not just the ideas of man, but all other ideas, the whole universe. That's the reason why at that point we really can help the world, we can help animals, we can help plants. There is just one friendly universe. So that finally, we can say then if that there is just that one brotherhood, then everything is okay, everything is perfect, and everything is at the point of harmony. And that brings us to the last verse of truth as love, which gives the mother, the womanhood sense of man. Woman, including the whole universe, are in perfection. There is nothing new anymore there. So that the creation is not really an emanation, but it is a self-containment of being. We can, in consciousness, truth, embrace the whole universe. Truth. Love. Sorry. Okay. So that within consciousness, truth, we can embrace, love, the whole universe. All right. So we come to the seventh day of creation. And actually, what I said is wrong, because it's not the day of creation, just the day. Because again, nothing is being created anymore. So actually, there are only 6 days of creation, and the seventh day, where everything is complete, and it is just a matter of how we can get hold of that completion. So there is no creative activity here either. The epitome that I've given reads that love is fulfilled in its creation. You get a fulfilled sense. Yes. The Bible says what? The Bible says first, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. You get really a terrific sense of the all-embracedness of being, that everything is finished, that everything is fulfilled, every part of it, all the hosts of them, nothing is missing anymore. It just establishes a consciousness that we should go out from absolute perfection and absolute fulfillment. So that we don't have any more a sense that something should be added, that something should be created and added to creation, but much more that we accept that fullness of creation. The side note that Mrs. Eddy gives here is infinity measureless. And you can see it gives the sense of measuring, which is always truth. Truth measures. Truth is the standard. Truth is the measuring rod. And we can only measure with truth what perfection is. And therefore, she asks here a great question. So this is really the next tone, namely the question, how can we fathom infinity? How can we fathom infinity? And she gives three answers. She answers it on the three degree of the scientific translation of mortal mind. From the first degree, she says, again I repeat the question that is here to be considered, how can we fathom infinity? How can we fathom, so to say, the perfection of being? How can we fathom that perfection that includes the whole universe? And she says, mortals, that would be the first degree of mortal mind, mortals can never know the infinite. Mortals can never fathom it. Isn't that beautiful? Because usually in the whole world, mortals try to fathom what God is, what the infinity is. And they try very hard. And it's always something that they do in vain. They never achieve it. We should be aware that mortal mentality cannot fathom the immortal. That the finite mentality can never fathom the infinite. So that this is a method that never leads anywhere. Mortals can never know the infinite. Another aspect is the second degree, namely human capacity. Can human capacity fathom it? And she says, not quite, and yet a bit. She says, well, human capacity is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation and the power that goes with it and the presence that goes with it. It's slow. If we try it on a human capacity, it's slow, it's hard. If we try it with lot of study, with lot of work, with lot of human effort, with lot of human power and lot of human energy, it's slow. Because it doesn't work like in another science. There, you can just sit right through the nights and work on geometry or work on mathematics and you get somewhere, not in science. Science is the way of grace. So that second degree doesn't work either. There is only one degree, the third degree, that is efficient. And so she says that we have, in order to fathom infinity, we have to come to the knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, to say it in a few words, we can only fathom the perfection through the Christ consciousness. Therefore, that tone has all to do with love and truth. Love, to fathom infinity, to fathom the perfection of being. How? Through truth. Through the Christ consciousness, through the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, through the perfect man. And therefore we have here the clue how to open up infinity, namely if we approach infinity with a Christ mind.